Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Just like he said he would. Closed doors opening before me. Walls are crumbling at my feet. Giants falling in his presence. Victory.
In the night. Welcome to Starbright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. As that song says, we're breaking out, we're breaking free, because this is our year of breakthrough. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store. Please, please don't limit by your own understanding, by your own calculation, because God is doing a work that we have not perceived or we cannot even believe. He's working and making a way where even there appears to be no way. As the song said, he's opening the doors that once were closed. He's breaking down walls. He's doing something new. He's doing something new. Keep your eyes fixed upon the one who is taking you forward. Father, my God, we thank you that you are doing something new. We choose to trust you. We choose to trust this new that you're doing. Father, my God, we choose to step out upon the water. We make that choice to choose the way that you are taking. Yes, the enemy is shouting, but we refuse to believe the enemy and we choose you, Lord. We choose, though it does not make sense, though it does not even look like it's working out, we know you are working it out because you are doing it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. You are making a way. Lord, I'm consistently reminded of Moses at the water's edge. It would have made sense for a boat, but you did a no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and you parted the waters. Father, my God, in our lives, you are doing a version of parting the waters, doing the miraculous, turning things around in our favor. And we're grateful. We are grateful. Every spirit of intimidation that wants to cause us to quake, wants to cause us to run in the corner, wants to cause us to give up, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We say no. We say no. We say no to that. And we are looking and fixing our eyes upon you, the one that is guiding us and leading us forward. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, King of Kings. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, we're in the season of... Some people don't like it if I say Easter, but it's Easter, you know, because, you know, of the root of some of these words that we use. You know, there's Lent. Some of you might be giving up chocolate. Some of you might be fasting. Some of you might have said, I'm not going to be going on to Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever they are all called. I was speaking to the worship leader and I said, are you going to be fasting? And the worship leader turned around to me and said, well, I fast consistently, so I don't think that's going to make a difference. Do you know when you don't have words to say? I was like, I didn't have words to say, because yes, the worship leader can go without food all day and sometimes has to be called to eat. So, you know, it's kind of like, yep, consistently fasting. I really believe it's prepared for something. I have no clue what, but you know, God knows. And this is not even a new thing. I wish it was a new thing. But whatever you're doing, let God be it. Don't just do the act of giving up this or doing that. Let God be at the center. I want to challenge some of you to pray more, increase your Bible study more, you know, because that might be more than just giving up the food. Do the spiritual side more. We're going to be looking at Easter. We're going to be looking at Easter. You know, these are the weeks leading up to Easter. And I looked at my calendar the other day, and I was shocked, surprised, and amazed that Easter's actually the first weekend in April. Don't know when that all happened. You know, I'm already saying we're in March, but because we are in March, practically in March. And before you know it, we'll be in April. And Easter's that first weekend. So we need to really focus in. So I'm encouraging you to increase your prayer life, increase your Bible study, meditating upon the word, you know, all those kind of things, because we need to focus into what God is doing. Moses, I come back to that scripture, Moses at the water's edge, was the Lord said, "Why are you crying out to me? Lift up what's in your hand." And there's something very powerful in that. That yes, we cry out to the Lord, but there's something that we need to do. There's a prayers that need to go up, a worship that needs to go up. Something needs to occur as well as crying out to the Lord. And we have got to believe that God, you know, like the song said, we've got to believe. Declare it. It's my year of breakthrough. It's my year. It's my season. It's my time. Because God is working. God is working. You know, if we don't have an expectation, we can miss it. And thank you, Holy Spirit. I remember one time calling a taxi for the worship leader and said, "Worship leader, get in the taxi with the grandma Starbright. You know, you're going to pick her up. Get in the taxi." And because he was looking for the grandma Starbright where he went to go and pick her up, he missed the taxi. The taxi didn't wait. And I learned a lot from that. We have got to be at a certain place at a certain time to encounter and receive that which God is doing. And I pray that we'll all be in that place in that time in the name of Jesus. The weeks leading up to Easter can be wonderful. They can be very busy and sometimes even very distractive. You know, you can get distracted by, you go to the supermarkets and you see all sorts of things. Well, they were there since, if I'm to be honest, Boxing Day. Went to the supermarket, I think it was Boxing Day or the day after that, and I was greeted by a row of Easter eggs. I thought, for goodness sake, I'm still celebrating Christmas. What's going on with you people? But we can get distracted and with all that goes on. And yes, it is a season to celebrate because of what it means, but we can also get so easily wrapped up in the business of life that we forget the importance of preparing our hearts and mind to celebrate and to acknowledge the sacrifice Jesus made for us. I don't want us to get so busy in life that, like I've explained, that I was quite surprised and I realized I need to get my heart and my mind prepared, because I don't want to get just, you know, Easter to come and go, "Oh wow, it's here." No, we need to prepare ourselves. The time leading up to Good Friday and the Resurrection Sunday is a time for us to prepare our hearts and our minds in remembering Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, especially the resurrection, the importance of it. It's an opportunity for us to look at our lives and to start or restart, you know, the spiritual disciplines. That's why I was encouraging us that we need to pray more, you know, worship more, study more, believe more. If your faith is waning in some areas, then what you've got to do, I don't want you to give up. I want you to join and link with someone who's going to be able to encourage you in those areas. There is a strength in joining and linking with someone. You know, as the scripture says, iron sharpeth iron. We really need to get ourselves into that place. We want to strengthen and grow closer to Jesus in this time. Because when we start that, if you start a momentum, you'll ask the Lord to help you to sustain it. And then you're then on a different level. Excuse me. One way to prepare our hearts is by checking the condition of our hearts, you know, of our thoughts, our motives, our desires. In fact, God is more interested in what is going on inside than how we perform. You know, sometimes you know when your heart, there's a saying goes, your heart is in it. We are consistently asked to, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, it says one scripture, and the mouth speaks, to, you know, look after what is going on internally. Because sometimes we can give that smile, but inside we might be feeling low, fed up, disgruntled. It says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Wow. Now, I'm going to go from Proverbs 4, and I'm going to start from 20. Pay attention, my child, to what I say. Listen carefully. Don't lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep within your heart. So we don't want them on the surface. Want it deep in your heart. We need them, the words of God, deep in our hearts. For they bring life and radiant health to anyone who discovers their meaning. If you put a seed on the ground, it can stay there, you know. It might even develop roots. But because the roots are not supposed to be above ground, after a while what can happen is that the weather, the harshness of the weather, can actually impact the roots. It can impact, you know, the start of it, even as the shoot is coming up from the seed. Because aspects of it is supposed to be underground, it can be impacted. So after a while it doesn't grow, or it starts doing some lopsidedness, or the shoot starts going inside the ground, just trying to get away from the harshness of it all. But when you plant a seed and you've dug the ground and put the seed in, because it's in the right atmosphere and the right place, and that doesn't, you know, it actually, the roots that develop from the seed breaking apart goes into the ground and is protected by the ground, but is also fed by the ground and grows. And then the shoot then comes up, and then it grows and it develops into the plant, into the tree, into whatever it is happening. The same thing, the word of God needs to penetrate our hearts. For they bring life and radiant health to anyone who discovers their meaning. The full potential of the seed will be discovered. The full potential of the word of God will be discovered in that, in the dark ground. And then we see the what develops from it. Then it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. You know, the scripture that says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All those things is asking us to, what is going on inside does come out. What we think of ourselves, of each other, of our situation, circumstance, just come out when under tremendous pressure. So we want to make sure that even under tremendous pressure, we can speak faith to ourselves, to the situation. We can believe. Now, it can be really hard because the situation can be shouting so loudly. So I really want us to guard our hearts. I really want us to watch what goes in so that we don't speak something contrary to what God is doing ourselves. Okay? The condition of our heart, our faith, what we believe is important because it impacts everything. You know, it impacts what we believe impacts. If you believe you're going to, this is going to happen, that even when it starts looking a bit rugged, you will push through because you believe so strongly. But if you have some doubt, when things start going a bit rocky, you then won't push through. Moses had to believe when he heard the Lord speak to him, when he heard God speak to him, that if he stood there and looked and fixed his eyes, something was going to happen. It was going to happen. He had to believe. If he started questioning, doubting, looking at, well, looking himself, looking up, looking at, well, the Egyptians are close by this. Those were all the facts, but it wasn't the truth. Wasn't the truth. Let the truth be in your heart. Amen. How do we examine our hearts? How do we make sure our hearts are filled with the right things? The word instructs us to examine ourselves to see whether we are living lives according to what the word of God says, whether we're filling our hearts and our minds. And that's in 2 Corinthians 13. It says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourself if you cannot tell that Jesus Christ is among you. It means you failed the test. I'm going to read beforehand. I'm going to start from verse 3. And I will give you all the proof you want that Christ speaks through me. Christ is not weak in his dealings with you. He is a mighty power among you. Wow. A mighty power. Although he died on the cross in weakness, he now lives by the mighty power of God. We too are weak, but we live in him and have God's power, the power we used in dealing with you. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourselves. If you cannot tell that Jesus Christ is among you, it means you failed the test. I hope you recognize that we have passed the test and are approved by God. Well, amen. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Examine your faith. Is this faith level able to sustain? Is this faith level able to help me? Is this faith level being filled? It says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Sometimes we need to hear so many times to ensure that we believe. You know, what you think about yourself is made up of what you've heard for years. What you've heard for years. What family might have said, what teachers might have said, what has been said for years. That what makes up what we believe. But what we need to do is actually be filled with what God is saying about us. So that's why we've got to examine our hearts and say, is this what I believe about myself, about my situation, what God is saying, or what the world has said to me over the years? Because sometimes the world says something that aligns, but sometimes it doesn't align with the Word of God. So that's why I've got to examine. Look at the situation through the eyes of faith. And really examine. David frequently asked God to examine him to see if there was anything in his life that was not right. Now, in Psalm 139, let me go to Psalm 139. It says, Psalm 139. I'm reading from verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Wow. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. You know, the test is anything that's going to, like a pressure that when it's squeezed, what's coming out? Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Lead me. Lead me. When I think of lead me, it's like taking my hand and guiding me through. It's leading. When you're asking the Lord to lead, the Lord's in front of you, leading you. You can't lead someone that you are behind. Look at it that way. If you're leading someone, they have to be behind you, and you're every now and then checking, are you with me? Are you following along? So that you make sure you don't leave anybody behind. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Anxious, your fearful thoughts. See if there's any offense in me and lead me the way of everlasting. Anxious, what you fear. You know, what you believe. Is there any belief that is not of God in you? Is there anything battling? Search, ask the Lord to search and remove those anxious thoughts in this season. We need God, because you know we want to step it up a level. So we need God to help us to get rid of those you could say stinking thinking. You don't need that thought that is going to be dragging you down. You don't need that thought to make you feel that you're not able. You are able, because God is able, because He is doing it. He is doing it. No matter the condition of our heart, God wants to make it like His. No matter what, God wants to make our heart like His. We're going to take a break. You know, we're going to take a break. And I want you to, in the break, examine your heart. Write down things you're struggling, you know, with. Examine your heart and make it plain to yourself. We'll be back after the break.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end,
it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, everybody say, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. It's always been you,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the
Jesus.
center of it all. In this season, that is our main focus, Jesus being the center of it all. Now, as a, I want us to read that scripture again in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Now, it doesn't mean that whether, because generally sometimes we say, is it real or fake, whether we believe or not. No, but it's a case of, let me look for it in a different translation, because I don't want us to feel that. Another, examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is amongst you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. Let me look for another translation. It says, now your souls will be strengthened and healed if you hold steadfast to your faith. Haven't you already experienced Jesus Christ himself living in you? If not, you are deceived, deficient. Well, I love that. I do love that one. It says, now your souls will be strengthened and healed. You know, when we examine, I remember when I had a cut on my ankle that wouldn't heal when I was a lot younger. And they had to examine it. And then they had to clean it. So the process of examining is to look diligently and carefully at what is happening within our hearts, our minds, our lives. And I want us to be, I don't want to say self-critical, but I want us to be honest with ourselves and God, because sometimes we stand for something that is not what God is asking us to stand when we miss understand something. You know, we could, Moses, hold up what's in your hand. Because of his experience, thank you, Holy Spirit, because of his experience and encounters with the Lord, he understood, hold up what's in your hand as the staff. He understood, because he had used the staff several times with the Lord. He had, so when he was told to hold up what was in his hand, he didn't start looking askance that, what's in my hand? What's it? What do you mean? Let me just leave. What do you mean? He had experienced the Lord so much that he knew what that meant. So we need to experience the Lord so much that when the Lord gives us a direction, an insight of what to do, hold up what's in your hand. You know what he is referring to. When he says, stand still and know that I am God, you know that what that means for you. Because for some people, stand still, it might mean really you need to stand still because you're moving too much. For some people, it's stilling their hearts and their minds. For some people, it, for everybody, can mean something different. But if, because of your experience with the Lord, when he's speaking to you, you know what he's referring to. And I want us to really, really get that. Really get that he's speaking to us. And I'm looking for that. Because I really love that scripture. It keeps coming mind back to mind. Okay. Exodus 14. Then they turned, and I'm reading Exodus 14 from 11. Then they turned against Moses and complained, why did you bring us here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Now, I just want to phrase it differently. Why did you bring me on to this job? I was content with that job. I knew my way around. Yes, there was no progression, but I knew my way around. Why did you give me this? Why did you give me this car? Because the other one I was all right with. This one, I'm just not able to manage it. And does any of these things sound familiar? Those phrases, looking back at Egypt. Everybody's Egypt is different. You know, why did you make us leave? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone while we were still in Egypt? Yes, we should be content whether we obey or about. Yes, we should. But that doesn't mean that we don't move forward with what the Lord is asking us to do. I went through, I changed from one job to another. And people helped me get the other job. And I was there. But you know when something... And I was really happy. I was really happy then. I was really happy. But you know when something just doesn't sit right. And there's a... they were never... The place I went to, they were never satisfied. And I was just like... Why didn't I just stay? Part of me... But I wanted to press forward. I wanted to press forward. It didn't... In the end, it didn't work out. I think I was there about 6-7 months, maybe, if that much. And then I felt a bit lost. And I cried out to God. And God directed me, which seemed in a strange way, but He directed me and built me and directed me and built me, directed me and built me. And I went through a wilderness. But I gained so much of God. And when I look back at that time, I said, Lord, I thank you for what I have a better understanding and I've experienced of God that without it I wouldn't have. Now I want you to look, if you're in a wilderness, to learn your lessons so that you're not spending 40 years. I'm not saying 40 years literally, but 40 years. Because it was supposed to be an 11-day journey. So that journey, that what you've got to gain through it, it can be like an 11-day journey instead of a 40 years. And we know, God forbid, it's not your portion, it's not my portion, but some people died in that desert. But it's not your portion, not your portion, because you are going to examine your heart, you're going to learn. We are examining our hearts, we're learning and we're growing in the things of God in this season because we want to. Now in verse 13 it says, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid, just stand where you are and watch the Lord rescue. And it says, and he said so many things. And it says in 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? He spoke with such boldness. But the Lord knew in his heart that probably was a bit afraid, a bit like nervous, a bit like, what is going on? So why are you crying out to me? The Lord didn't rebuke him for crying out in his heart. So cry out to the Lord. And he gave him instructions of what to do. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is real or genuine. The other version, the Passion Translation. Now your souls will be strengthened and healed if you hold steadfast to your faith. Haven't you already experienced Jesus Christ himself living in you? You know what God is able to do. You know. We sing that song. God is able to do just what he said he will do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. He is able. And let this time... So that your faith increases. Some of you are believing for a job. Believe for it. Some of you believing for children, believe for it. The enemy is going to tell you, of all the people that didn't get job, of all the people that didn't have children, yeah, but look at the ones that got. Look at the ones. Focus on the ones. Focus. Because our journey is an individual journey. So encourage yourself with the testimonies that people are sharing. Encourage yourself with those testimonies. Really focus on those things. You know, I want you to spend time with God and talk to Him. You know, like Moses did, even though he had said something, but the Lord knew what his heart was saying. And be really honest with the Lord in your examination and pray through areas that you are struggling. It might be negative thinking, it might be bad attitudes, it might be disobedience, whatever it is, pray through and ask the Lord to align you, realign you. And ask the Lord to help you. In this journey, we need God to help us. I don't know why anybody would want to do it without God. I'm not sure. That's a different thing. We need to, in that process, we keep growing. Because when you learn something, it's like when you first learned math. You learned 1 + 1 = 2. You felt like you knew everything. And then as you were growing, you were learning and you were learning more. And then you learned, wow, your number bonds, and you learned certain things and you thought, wow. And then they told you about algebra. They told you about measuring. So many things. You think, wow. As we examine, as we learn, as we are tested, we grow. We grow. You know, when we give our hearts to God, you know, and give our situation to God, because the Lord is our Savior, and if you haven't given your life to the Lord, give your life to the Lord. You know, there's a scripture that says, taste and see, for the Lord is good. I want to challenge someone, give it a year. Just give it a year. Give Jesus a year. Fully. Not the one that you're half in, half out. You know, or you're just doing something. Fully commit for a year. Press into the Lord for a year. And then come back and say what you've discovered. Because when we give the Lord our all in all, there's so much more He will pour into us. And you will grow, because you learn a lot about yourself as well. It is absolutely the best and most exciting decision you'll make, giving your life to the Lord, and to examine yourself. Because it's painful, but there's so much that's revealed, so much that you see from God's perspective, that it gives you an insight. And then you start seeing how the enemy has been deceiving. And some of you are wondering, what's this got to do with Easter? I want us to be prepared. I want us to prepare. I don't want us to just walk through the days, you know, walk through the days and the bit. This is what makes a difference in being a Christian, that the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth rose from the dead. That is the key difference. Is like, yes. So I want us to meditate upon it. I want us to dwell. I want us to really, you know, so that we grow. God gives us everything we need in Christ to grow and become who He made us to be. He's given us His word, and He wants to speak to our hearts through prayer. It's the beginning of a lifelong journey of continued spiritual growth, and our goal should be to actively press on each day to become more and more like Christ. We want to become more and more Christ-like. We want our attitudes to be more and more Christ-like. I'm reminded, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, that when I have my wobbles, that Jesus understands, because, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Can this cup be removed?" I'm paraphrasing, "Can this cup be removed? But not my will, but yours." And he said he cried, he said he wet blood, he sweated blood. He, you know, he got to that place. And that speaks of one that knew the cost it was going to pay, but looked and saw us and said, "It's worth it." The Lord saw you all those years, thousands of years ago, and said it was worth it. So who are we to look at ourselves, look at our situations, and say it's worthless, when the Lord has said it, you know, there's a worth, there's a value in it. I don't want us to discredit ourselves. I don't want us to sell ourselves short to, but I want us to know that the Lord has something more. There's one song that says there must be more than this, Spirit of God. We need to press into the Lord because he's got so much, so much in store for us. We've soon come to the end of the program, and I want us to pray. Father, my God, we thank you. We thank you that in this season you're helping us to examine our hearts, to prepare our hearts and our minds, to prepare ourselves for your crucifixion and resurrection, and what that truly means to us and our growth and our development. Help us to press into you in this season. Let us not get wrapped up in the business of life and forget the true meaning of what this is all about. Help us to stay focused upon you, because you are the one taking us forward. Taking us forward, Lord. Taking us forward. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, King of Kings. Adonai, we praise your holy name. We give you all the glory, Lord Jesus, because you are strengthening us. You are helping us. You are filling us. You are refreshing us. And we tap into you this day and every day. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to announce we're going to have another Starbright in March. So please, please, please go to Eventbrite and book your ticket. We'll see you next week, and bye for now. Thank you.
said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Then Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me.